Good morning. You know, it's interesting. You do this. I preach. I get the opportunity to preach on Lord's Day mornings and lead classes. And I've been get to preach up here. I've preached up here a number of times, but I still get a little nervous up here. And exactly, Tim. You guys turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm actually super excited, though, for... Is this... Do I need to move this down a little? Or is it just my ears? It's fine? Okay. All right, Hebrews 12. Excited to be here. Hebrews is an amazing book. And throughout this week, there was a couple times it just reminded... I memorized this book a number of years ago, and recently I've been going through it, and I actually just started preaching on Hebrews and Billings a few months ago. Hebrews is a tough book to preach. It really is. The nature of it. It is so interwoven, so complex, and God is pulling together old and new and showing the superiority of the new over the old. It is very difficult to preach this in a linear fashion. The Holy Spirit did it perfectly. Book of Hebrews. So, it have been some great messages. But they are difficult to preach because oftentimes, the more spiritual the nature of something, the less it lends itself to easy physical illustrations. And so, God in His wisdom, He put a lot of those illustrations there for this. In the Old Testament. That's Mike Ferguson, a great job bringing that out. I love it when I'm studying with somebody to whip out the little Rose Publishing Tabernacle, show them here's a picture of what God did leading this. Because God did all of that so that it can connect with us, to get us to reach up into that next area that he's taken us. Hebrews chapter 12, I just want to read verses 18 through the end of the chapter. Hebrews 12, verses 18 and following. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and a darkness, and gloom, and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word should be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your glorious name. Lord, you are awesome God. Father, you do care about man. That from before the foundation of the world, you prepared the kingdom. And that everything that you've done, from the time that you said, let there be light, till the time in which we live, Lord, everything has pointed towards the coming of Jesus first into this world, but ultimately to the throne. And then we're waiting for the return for judgment. Lord, we're thankful that you have chosen the church. We are your plan A, your only plan. And that you, Father, are bringing about victory through us. I just ask today that you be with me as I preach your word, that it just be a reminder, truthful to the scriptures, a reminder of what a great treasure this kingdom is. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man, there's so much in here. You could teach and preach on this passage for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'll just tell you this right now. The worst message I've ever preached in my life. Did I say message? It was supposed to be messages. I want to have too much stuff. And I don't scale it down. So my dad said, could you emphasize you have come to Mount Zion? And he might have even had a dot, 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 but I just left it right there. You've come to Mount Zion. And then I got to scale this down. What? There's so much about Zion in the scriptures. And the one thing, I waited till Wednesday night to tell Kevin, because any of you guys know Kevin? Hebrews 12 is his chapter, man. And his line, his favorite verses are 22 through 24, but 22 especially, and his line, you have come to Mount Zion. So, I didn't want him to be jealous, working on overcoming the deeds of the flesh here, and, you know, wanting to help brother out, so I didn't tell him till Wednesday night. But this is a great, great opportunity to preach this message. You know, I want to try to make this simple. And so my hope today is that from this scripture, that it would remind us the value of what we have. Over time, you know, the world just chips away, chips away, chips away. There is a war. And that war that was started in heaven, the battleground now is earth. And it is the world versus the church. And sometimes that world chips away at us and we forget what we've been given. You know, the time can go on. And sometimes the grind, you know, the wounds of war. Another season without the final victory can grind you down. And man, I'm thankful for scriptures like this that bring me back to reality of what it is that we have, of what the church really is. You know, my buddy Rich Wallace, many of you know, I think he was immersed at family camp about 4.5 years ago. In this last year, got cancer and went on to glory here about a month ago. But the last, you know, trying to go and visit, and he finished faithfully, by the way. Really just another great example and reminder. I mean, the Assembly of the Saints was a priority to him all the way to the end. A great example. But I was in his house a few times towards the end, and he had this amazing... I mean, I walked in the corner of his room, of his house, of his living room, is this telescope. Amazing telescope. I started asking him about it. It's like, I never could figure the thing out. If you knew Rich, he wasn't a techie guy at all. He's like, it came with computer program. Here's this amazing telescope sitting there that he's looked through a few times. He's like, I could see a couple. I couldn't figure the thing out. Guys, sometimes that happens to us. What we, and it just sits over here. Yeah, the kingdom, church, Zion, yeah, it's good stuff. You know, one of my pet peeves, driving around and I see these old ladies in these nice sports cars. Like, oh, I'm sure they have the money for them, but please, let somebody gonna drive that thing. You know, the Lord's given us something great. And sometimes we're doing the old lady driving. Got the telescope over in the corner of the room. I've been blessed to get to go to the Philippines through, with the help of Bird of Prey a number of times. And one of the things that you recognize, people are, they're in really, really adverse conditions and poverty. But one of the challenges actually when you take on some projects and you're helping them with some things, there's a way of thinking poor that settles in. And I don't mean bad attitude. I understand the blessed Jesus said of the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But there's a mentality. In the Philippines, human labor is the cheapest commodity there is. Gas is still $4 or $5 a gallon. But man, human labor is cheap. So there's a tendency to think poor, to waste time. Time isn't always very efficient there. And so they take on a project and it's just this. They don't even know how to think about this thing big picture and actually count the cost of where this is, of what it is you're talking. They get so excited about just an opportunity to start something. They have no ability to actually appraise from start to finish what this project would be. It's just that way of thinking. Because sometimes we let the world get into us spiritually. Well, we came out of the world the way that we thought spiritually poor. And the Lord wants us to open up our eyes and to think we have grace, God's riches, right? At Christ's expense. They're resources from God that He is giving to us, the church. But we ought to know how to use them. Otherwise, they're sitting there in a bank account. Maybe, to use Jesus' analogy, maybe we're burying the talent in the ground because we're afraid. God wants us to open up our eyes to see what it is that He's given to us. So, I just want you to notice here, my Bible says contrast of Sinai and Zion over the top of verse 18. I'm just thinking about Mount Sinai. A mountain. Mike said it great last night. You know, your cats and dogs get there and touch it. They're torched. But this, you know, you put yourself back there. You go back and read the Exodus account. It's a terrifying experience. You're on that mountain or near that mountain. You're not allowed to touch it. There's a blazing fire, darkness, gloom, whirlwind. There's a trumpet sound. There's a heavenly trumpet sound. You got the voice of God Himself. And everybody's like, Moses, please, you go talk to Him. You go talk to Him and then you tell us we can't handle this. A couple times, actually the old tobacco roots, a couple times. I think Cliff Renner, one time we were up there, Wilderness Survival, and there was a pretty good lightning storm up there. Do you remember that, Cliff? Another time, a friend of mine and I were camping up there, and we left in the middle of the night because the lightning was scaring us to death. It's like, we got to get off of this mountain. It's a terrifying experience. But I want you to notice something here, brethren. What is the contrast between Sinai and Zion? Which is greater? And no contest. The things that you can see and hear and feel and touch. I mean, absolutely amazing on that mountain. But guys, God is communicating something. The realm of the unseen is where the real power is. You can't hear the voice of God thundering from the mountain, but you better hear it, the new covenant thundering from here. Our God, who's a consuming fire, the reality of it is, the spiritual realm, that's where the real power is. You know, maybe some of us have said it. I've heard some of us say it. I've heard other people say, man, I wish I could be back there. Elijah, Elisha, Moses, David, you know, that man. Guys, those guys wanted to be here. Jesus said, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and could not see, and to hear what you hear and could not hear it. Like, we live in the best of times. But our eyes got to be opened so we can see this. This whole book of Hebrews is about, from the beginning, like, grow up, guys. Get your eyes open so you can see what really is. It's a challenge. The greatest journey from the physical to the spiritual. You guys know my dad likes to ask the question, you know, what happened on the other side of the clouds? That's a legitimate question. That's where the power is. And that's what the book of Hebrews opens to us, and many of you guys, the messages we've done. I even thinking back where Phil started us off, you know, that Jesus is greater than the angels. You know, I just want you to consider for a moment. When Jesus was on earth, the angels ministered to him, didn't they? But Jesus on the throne, he's greater than the... If your picture of Jesus is limited to him here on the flesh, you're still down below the... Understand the context, okay, please. But your thinking of Jesus is still limited to him when he's below the angels. The book of Hebrews is open up our eyes. Jesus is greater than the angels. That's Jesus in glory. We got to... It takes some rethinking, doesn't it? Renewing of the mind. Letting the Lord shape the way that we think and his word open up and see, show to us the things that really are. I want to talk about Zion real quickly here. We come to this spiritual mountain. And what is Zion? Originally, a hill in Jerusalem. And let's actually look at something real quick. If I can find it here. 2 Samuel chapter 5. You know, when I said I had to try to shrink this down, Zion's used 178 times in the Bible. 170 of those are in the Old Testament. Listen to this. 45 times in the book of Psalms, 51 times in the book of Isaiah. We can't go through 178 scriptures today and talk about them. So, but I'm just going to hit a few things. I want you to notice with me the first time, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Now the king and his men, this is David, went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and they said to David, "You shall not come in here. But the blind and lame shall turn you away, thinking, David cannot enter here." Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. And David said on that day, "Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, the blind or the lame shall not come into the house." So David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. David actually conquered this stronghold of Zion and went in and lived there. Made that his home. Guys, where's King Jesus dwell? Zion. It's his throne. But here he's called the city of David. There's one other city of David, Bethlehem, right? Where David was born. You ever get confused about that? I think Joseph Smith got confused about the city of David. Jesus was born in Jerusalem. Whoop, no, it wasn't that city of David that he was born in. But this became the city of David because this is where David set up his home. And so, he conquered it and lived there. Throughout the Old Testament, the way this is used, Zion is used as the city then of Jerusalem. But it's also used as the nation, communicate the nation or God's land, ultimately God's dwelling place. So I want to just flip back with me real quick to Hebrews 12. I just want to key in on these few verses. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. I just want to read them again. "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel." Guys, if people understood this passage, there would be no premillennialism. Actually, if people understood the book of Hebrews, all the false doctrine's gone. Every bit of it. We need the other books of the Bible, but it just destroys all of those false ways of thinking. We understand. You've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. This is telling you what these places are. The general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. This is what Mount Zion is. This is the church of the living God. And so Zion in prophecy is speaking of the church. I'm not going to do a comprehensive proof on this today. I think most of us are familiar. You go through the scriptures. Who? A Jew, a citizen of the kingdom. Who is the citizens of the kingdom in the New Testament? Who is a Jew, Kevin?
Romans 2,
according to Romans 2, you to Jew. Okay? Jerusalem is the church, right? The Israel is the church. And so there's some passages about this. We've already looked at Psalm 2 this weekend. As for me, I have installed my king. Where? Mount Zion. Jesus reigns from Zion. He's consistently spoken of God's dwelling place. Just go with me to Psalm 9. Because I just encourage you this right now because we just don't have time to do this. But next time you read through any of these Old Testament books, pay attention. Zion is talking about you. He's talking about the church. Okay, enjoy it. It's just fun when you get into this. But Psalm 9, verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Hey, throughout the scriptures, that's the point. I want to hit Isaiah 52. There are so many of these, I couldn't pick which one. So I'm just going to pick one representative prophecy of future glory of Zion. Isaiah 52. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. And then jump down to 6 through 10. Awake, awake. Wake up, guys. Some of you are snoozing. Awake! Awake! Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Guys, some of us might be snoozing spiritually a little bit. That's my hope, is that this message will remind us and rekindle what the church is. Awake! Awake! Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Sounds like everything we heard this week. Jump down with me to verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Brethren, this is where we are. You have come to Mount Zion. All right, just a couple questions. Ask yourself, you fully wrapped your mind around what this means? I got to go back and be reminded. And it's like, Jesus said, the Father has gladly chosen to give us the kingdom. Do we really take that to heart? This gift is so precious, guys, that it's been reserved for the new creation. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom. We can't recognize it, guys, for what it is. Hey, people can look up here. Hey, there's a bunch of weird dudes that go up every year. And we haven't had much competition this year with the guys across, but some speaker. And they can't see it. You can't even see the kingdom for what it is unless you're born. It's reserved for the new creation. Psalm 87 talks about those who are born in Zion. Guys, our new birth took place in the city of the living God. We are inhabitants of spiritual Jerusalem. This is our kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. Amen? So, you know, when you're born in a land, you've been raised here, you know the area, you know the culture. Hey, you come to Billings, I don't pay. It was funny, I'm going to pick on my son Caleb for a second. He's a lot like me. When Caleb learned how to drive, he never got to take driver's ed. Hey, he goes through basketball, soccer, youth camp, never can find time. So at 16 years old, I'm taking him to drive, and he didn't have a clue. My fault, bad parenting. But it was one of those times that Caleb caught the brunt end of dad, like, what are you doing? Oh, pull over. I did yell at him. He's like, okay, my fault, Caleb. We got to start from scratch. But the thing I noticed about Caleb, he lived in Billings his whole life. But he never drove anywhere. He had no clue how to get around town. He started driving, got his driver, like, oh, now how do I get to... Is that true, Caleb? He had no clue. He's a social guy. He sits down next to me in the car, or vehicle, when he starts talking. He's not paying attention. Anything around him. Now that he's driving, he has to go places. He knows the place. Okay? Now Caleb can move away from Billings and come back 20, 30 years from now, and he'd know his way around the basics, you know, if the city is basically the same. Because he'd been there and done that. Okay? Mikkel went through a whole citizenship thing. He was a Canadian citizen and finally became a U.S. citizen after 30 years or so. But one of the things that, you know, and I got to hear Mikkel in the Philippines go through, and he did a great job just communicating what it takes to become a citizen and tying that in with scripture, what it takes to become a citizen. It was really great. But there was this little phrase he'd put in. After you do this, the expectation of citizenship is that you become assimilated into the culture, into the, I don't know if that's, I know the word assimilated is right, but into that place. Brethren, God gives us a picture, a new identity. Our citizenship is in Zion. We're not of the, He delivered us from the domain of darkness, amen? Transferred us to the kingdom. What's our culture? It's the kingdom. What's that look like? Where are you going to find that? How are you going to drive through the streets? How are you going to figure? There's a lot there. Start reading the stuff about Zion, for starters. Read your New Testament. These are, if you will, like rules of the house, right? I'm not talking about law. There's a rule of the house. The Lord's holy. But I think all of us here, or most of us, understand Zion is the church. Yes, Luke, we've heard this. We have probably proved people go through, you know, a little Galatians 3, Galatians 4, Romans 2, lay out the case. We're spiritual beings, and this is Jerusalem, and we can lay it out factually. But do we really live like this is it? Go with me to Psalm 84. I forget who I was talking to, but they were talking about me without realizing it. They were giving an example. Some people are like book smart. I can read a book. I can tell you what it says and what it means. Yeah, I can pick up a manual. Yeah, okay, this is what you're... Now, to go do it, it's like I have a serious disconnect. I got to actually figure out how to make these hands in practicality do what this manual tells me to do. Because sometimes we can be book smart and we can have the facts and we can lay out for people, hey, this is heavenly Jerusalem, but do we live? Is it in here? Do we live it? Is that where our mind and our heart really is? Psalm 84, verse 5 through 7. How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. You'll notice to Zion's added there, but the context, I think, dictates It's a legitimate point. How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. I want you to notice it's in your heart. The highways. How's that get into your heart? You got to be doing. Caleb was born in Billings, but until he started driving those roads, he did not know where to go or how to get there. It got to be in our heart. I just challenge you today. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable possession in the entire universe. And the treasure that's hidden in the field, right? The world's the field. We don't buy it for the field. We buy it for the treasure. Are we living like that? Some of the age goes on. Time's ticking away. I notice Mel Hirsch is giving his announcement. I love Mel. I'm glad, respect for him. But he's old now. He's not the same guy that when I was a kid, volleyball, anybody remember the volleyball? It was as bad as the Billings breakfast or whatever. Volleyball. Time ticks on. And if we don't keep our minds set, we don't come back and renew, if we aren't driving the roads, if this isn't becoming in our heart, then we get chipped away at. The deceptive luster of the world can blind us from the eternal glories of the kingdom. Jesus warned about thorns. Thorns choke. Be honest, are they choking you out a little bit? Worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of this life, the day-to-day grind of being down here, or is it keeping your eyes lifted up? One time I asked a guy, I was like, what? This guy was on fire. He was younger. I said, what happened? I guess the novelty's worn off a little. Guys, the novelty wears off if we're not renewing. If we're not being renewed in the spirit of our mind. But man, if we're being renewed in the spirit of mind, we're more and more understanding and participating and driving these highways. It's deeper and deeper and deeper into our hearts. The kingdom is more real to us. We understand what it is, the glories of the kingdom, the closer we get to our eternal home of glory. You can picture yourself back on Sinai. That material universe, all that stuff's burning up. We received a kingdom which can't be shaken. We need to show gratitude. Serve God with reverence and awe. I encourage you today, get your kingdom mindset back if you've lost a little. Strengthen it if you got it. Like, make it strong. This is where we were born and what we were born for. I want you to see the church in all of its glory. Psalm 48. We'll close and from this passage. I got a few things to say about it. So don't get too excited that we're done here. But Psalm 48, just please let the imperishable seed here work in your hearts as we read this. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain. Just pause here for a minute. Because the only people that can worship God are those who have been recreated. Those who have been born again. Those who are in whose dwelling place, who live in Zion. Verse 2, beautiful in elevation. That's not physically. That's spiritually. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. God in her palaces has made himself known as a stronghold. For lo, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. They sought. Then they were amazed. They were terrified. They fled in alarm. Panic seized them there. Anguish as of a woman in childbirth. With the east wind, thou dost break the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise to the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. Guys, I get goosebumps from that. This is the church. This is what's been given to us. We have come to Mount Zion. Do you see the church with your physical eyes or with your spiritual eyes? Do you see the problems in it? We got to deal with problems sometimes. I'm not. But is that the way you view the church? Or do you see the church the way Jesus sees the church? Jesus loves the church. His dwelling place forever. Out of any, God can live anywhere he wants. And he created this home for him to live for eternity. Do you see that? Do you understand what's been given to us? Do you go through it looking for something wrong? Or do you see it from the perspective of heaven? Sometimes we just got to I'll just use me. Sometimes, guys, they be a little discouraging. You know what you do? I'm going to go. God's always right. I believe what he says about the church. I don't like the church. That's a scary thing, guys, because Jesus loves the church. You got to learn to like the things Jesus likes. Tell you your mind's wrong. The world's stealing you. The church is awesome. It's amazing. You gotta come back and reshift that. Renew the mind. See it for what it is. The church is the king, you know, the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes I just say it's the church on into heaven. This thing never goes away. It's eternal. So we need to invest in the kingdom and love the church. Know it inside and out. I like the way he says that. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces that you may tell it to the next generation. Because know this inside and out. I know people that have taken trips to the Holy Land. I have no problem. People want to go to Jerusalem and check it out. I mean, some of us are wired that way that if I can see this, where this took place is a cool thing. That might be nice to get some of the historical background. But guys, whether or not you ever make it to the physical land of Jerusalem is totally irrelevant in terms of your spiritually where you're going to end up. But you know where you better be visiting? You better be visiting, living in, driving, walking the streets, walking around, checking it out. The spiritual Holy Land. In the Word. Like, what is it that the Lord has to show me today? What is it that I can take and share with the next generation? Teaching people the good news of the kingdom. You know, visiting congregations. It's cool. My three oldest kids got to go to Missoula last weekend for their softball tournament. Go and fellowship with that's awesome, guys. Aren't you thankful for the church? Fellowship. You go to another place, you get fellowship there with them. That's part of it. That's another part of checking out driving the streets, man. Not from here to Missoula. Who cares about that? We're talking about the congregation. It's just fun. Great stuff to be a part of. You know, being involved in Bible studies, taking part in new births in the kingdom. I always find, you know, Chantal Bisco is somebody I always You know, somebody's having a baby. Chantel's involved. She's there. You know, she can be up at the hospital. It's just fun. Isn't it fun to be a part of new births in the kingdom? This gives life. Like, yes. Hey, here's the next ones that are coming along. You know, teaching people the good news of the kingdom. Showing them the way of life. What this is. I was excited Josh Gohl, you know, brought Zeph up here. And I was like, man, that's just cool. How else is Zeph going to get to the peak? Someone's going to have to bring him up here and show him the way this goes. Guys, how are people going to know the way of life in the kingdom? We got to take him and show him. You know, this new way of life, loving God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, that's not the way the old man lived. People need to be shown that. Hey, let me help you out with this. You know, the rule. I like Galatians 6, I think it's 15, right? Neither circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And anyone who walks by this rule. There's a rule. Love the Lord your God. That's one way of saying it. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the rule. Another way of saying it is be a new creation. That's the rule. That's it. But man, what a way of life. You know, we can be proud of the church. We should be proud of the church. Some of us are ashamed of the church. And of course you're not going to evangelize. There's problems in the church sometimes, guys. But let's be honest, there are a lot worse problems in the world. And the problem is going on in the church because people aren't yet renewed the way they need to be. They're always going to be, hey, we're trying to take this person that was messed up, and now there's going to be stuff you got to work through. Don't let that shape your identity of what the church is. Yeah, every once in a while, I hope Julie doesn't listen to this because I'll be in trouble, but every once in a while, we'll have a little spat. And so I'm kind of a live-in-the-moment sort of guy. I'm like, oh, you know, that's terrible, isn't it? She's like, we have 24 years of greatness together. Don't take this little moment, oh, this is bad. Guys, sometimes, you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes in the church, we see some, and that becomes our focus. This is the focus of who the church is. It's not just an ideal. Yes, we're working to get there. That's why all those New Testament letters are written. There's going to be problems in the church. Don't let them surprise you when they come, because that's why it's written. But the church, the eternal kingdom, is valuable. It's awesome. You have come to Mount Zion. There's so much good here. When a house you've built. I mean, I like a few people at Bible study with. They built this house, and man, they want to show me. It's like, oh yeah, hey, check this out. Every once in a while, they'll say, yeah, and I had problems with this, and I had to redo this here. But that's not the focus, is it? It's like, look at this house. Proud of it. Guys, the Lord's house, by His mercy and His grace, is our house. Amen. He's given it to us. He shares it with us. So much good to share. You know, I want to give a word of warning. One sure way to destroy your kids is to complain about the church. There's stuff got to be dealt with. But you don't ever complain about the church in front of your kids. Church is awesome. We came out of the world. We know what that place is like. And God's given us so much better. We got so much to tell the next generation the good things. Amen? Get down steady with them. Show them. Take them on Bible studies with them. Hey, man, it is so fun when people's light bulbs start going off in people's heads and they're seeing truth and they're starting to see the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Even from the very beginning, man, it's rejuvenating. To tell the next generation gives you, fills you with life. It's like, this place is awesome. I forgot about this. I let the telescope sit over there in the portion of the house. Let's get this thing out and check it out. It's awesome. God, we come to Mount Zion, the dwelling place of God. Why? Because He brought us here. What a beautiful place. May our eyes be opened again to see the kingdom in all of our glory.